Welcome to Smosh Asks, where there are no stupid questions, so we're going to ask every single question on Earth. Today, we are joined by a linguistic TikTok expert. We have Zay Dupree. Welcome.
Oh.
Hello. Okay, Zay is a super viral TikToker with over 500,000 followers, a speech and accent expert.
And I would write again. Stop giving me softballs.
And we've all been absorbing your content like an IV into our brains.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. I know all of us are stoked for this episode. I know you're a huge
so excited.
Linguistics head.
Yes. Oh, I didn't know that.
I love languages. Yeah, I do. It started when I was young too, because I like to observe people. And I also helped my mom learn English. So I've just like been aware of how people talk. So I'm so gassed that you're here.
He's going to analyze and guess where we're from based on how we say words.
I cannot wait.
Oh, I cannot wait either.
I have so many questions and I want to talk about all of our voices.
Oh, yeah. Simply based on the Hank Green video that you did on TikTok, I'm like, oh, he's not gonna guess mine. I'm like, no, he will. He will.
I went roast Hank to Phil.
Today, of course, we are joined by Angela. No one guesses where she's from.
Never correctly.
Mm. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. First and you're from?
Not gonna say.
good. Olivia, who is very interested in how language forms.
Yes, that is true.
Okay, awesome.
Yes, and that is how are they formed?
Mm. Okay, oh, we're all being so cool.
I feel like we're all like so tight because we don't want him to get the answer.
And of course, our friend of Smosh, Gucci, as we've said, you're interested in accents all around.
I love them. I love accents. I love language. I love how it falls in different places in the world. I can't wait.
We're gonna learn so much together.
I'm so excited. And then, of course, me, who has been tormented his whole life about how my mom can't differentiate between pin and pen, known as
the pin pen merger.
The pin pen merger.
Yeah.
And that was cool.
Okay, and with that, let's get into our analysis if you're ready. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
How long have you been interested in this?
It started around like COVID.
Oh,
because cool. When I wasn't in school and I was just at home, I was just like, you know, I evidently have a lisp. And I was like, this is the perfect time to like learn how to get rid of my lisp. Didn't work evidently, but I started to learn more about language, about speech pathology, and that's what sort of got me into linguistics. Mm. And then when I went to high school, I started studying my first foreign language. I started learning Spanish, I think like sophomore year. And then that also got me further like interested in languages. So I studied Spanish and French in high school. And now I'm in university where I'm also studying Portuguese and Arabic.
Wow,
that's amazing.
I had to cheat to get through Spanish class, okay?
You did.
Just to like show where I'm at in all this.
I actually think I took a linguistics class at UCLA, and I think I cheated for that too.
Hey, but hey, C's get degrees, baby.
C's get degrees. Is it hard for you to just like relax and not listen to everyone the way that people are talking all the time now?
Low-key, yeah.
Ah!
Like, I have to keep asking people to repeat themselves. I'm just like not listening to what they're saying at all.
Oh my God,
that's fascinating.
Or, like sometimes like, so like I'll know where someone's from and like I'll hear them say something that like doesn't sound characteristic of that area. And like, it'll just be like in my, like on my mind the entire time they're talking, I just won't pay attention to anything they're saying.
You're like, why did they say it like that?
Exactly.
Because you shouldn't be saying it like
exactly.
that. Because I know where you're from.
Exactly.
Yeah, because it is like a treasure hunt where it's like, where we're from doesn't mean that's how we sound.
Exactly.
Oh, right.
And it's like there's so many life events and, well, some of us are super young. So not a lot, not a lot happens to us yet. And there's so much more life to live. But then it's like, there's like, the more you live life, the crazier, like, I don't know. The way I talk is not the way I grew up talking. So it's fascinating.
And as another young person who is super young, my brain is sort of like a sponge.
Yeah.
Wherever I go, I sort of start adapting the accent. I got a concussion in New Orleans.
So now you, what?
And that affected everything.
And that changed everything. So if you pick up on some New Orleans, what the hell am I saying? I had like one cookie and I am.
Okay, but we all went crazy on that shaved ice and now we're like hyper talking.
I am not.
Based off of your TikToks, I couldn't imagine being your professor because I'd be like, this guy knows everything.
I'd be like, can we trade? I wanna sit down. Like, yeah. You can be here, tell them.
Oh my God, if it's, remember the movie Arrival with Amy Adams?
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No.
You're Amy Adams.
Oh my God. I'm Amy Adams. Is that good?
Yes.
Okay, word.
Amy Adams is like a genius who's like breaking down alien language.
Oh,
like,
fire.
Fire.
Yeah, fire. Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Give him a spinoff.
Could we start with me?
We can.
I'm so excited.
Okay. I'm going to write down some words for you. I want you to pronounce them. I'll talk about like—
I'm so excited. This is the best thing ever. Okay. I can't wait for this. I can't wait for this. I'm so excited.
I'm freaking out.
Oh my God.
Don't f this up.
No, I
normal. Be normal, say it normal.
Caught and caught.
Okay. So.
I'm gonna be rich one day.
Is that the merger?
I'm gonna be rich one day. This is a terrible.
The most like important thing I'm looking for is what's called minimal pairs, which in linguistics are sets of two words that are distinguished by only one sound.
Caught and caught.
So the vowel sound in caught and caught, those are the two sounds that distinguish those two words. And so they have what's called a high functional load, which is the amount of minimal pairs they have. If two sounds have a very low functional load or no functional load, then they're generally treated like the same sound. They have a very high functional load, then they're different sounds, and being able to distinguish them is like pretty important to understanding the language. In linguistics, we represent different vowel sounds using something called the IPA, the International Phonetic Alphabet. So that's how we talk about different vowel sounds in writing, because not every language has the same writing system.
Yeah.
There's like a universal cross-linguistic way of talking about different sounds. So these are the two, this is the sound in caught, this is the sound in caught.
Okay, wait, I went to theater school and they taught us all this stuff.
They teach you the IPA in theater?
Yes, the IPA, yes.
Okay, word.
Yes,
okay.
And it was a British guy and it was so hard and we had to go ah, oh, e. Oh, and we got tested on it.
I had the same thing. He wasn't British, but he kind of talked like he was because he was kind of a ridiculous man. Mm.
How did Great Britain?
He talked like this, and it was like okay. But the one that we like really stuck on was between instead of saying horror, it would be horror, so that it wouldn't sound like whore.
Horror. But it was like that symbol is what I remember we all learned. The vowels that don't have to do with the specific language you're saying.
Yes.
It's the sounds.
Yes, exactly.
Copy. Okay.
So like even if I didn't speak English, these letters would mean the same thing.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
And so the vowel in the word caught becomes the one in the word caught. And generally when it comes to traits of different accents in North America, or in specifically the United States, they can all be traced back to historical immigration patterns. We don't really know where it comes from in the West Coast, I'll get to that later. But the caught-caught merger is the most common in like that part of Appalachia, I'd say. Parts of New England, but it manifests a bit differently in New England. And basically the entire United States west of the Rockies. It also exists in like some parts of the Great Lakes region. It exists pretty marginally in like DC, Indy, I think another city. But are you from one of these areas?
No, keep going.
Okay. But we believe the reason why it exists in these areas is because of historical Scottish and Irish immigration. Because in Scottish and Irish English, in Scottish and Irish English, they don't have either the caught sound or the caught sound, one of those two. And so the other sound gets approximated to the sound they do have in that language when they're speaking English. And so because Scottish and Irish English don't have the distinction between the two vowels, the English spoken areas that historically had large Scottish or Irish populations also don't make that distinction.
Okay.
It's like Rubik's Cube energy.
Yeah, it's so cool.
It's so Jesus. Cool.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I've gotten this. Great, now.
And I don't know what it is, but I think it's cool because you're young. Because when an old man taught me this stuff, no, he didn't teach me this. Well, we'll move on. Keep going. We're going to do tangents later.
I see. Okay, I have another minimal pair for you. Can you read these two words for me?
Yes. Pen and pin.
Okay. So this is another merger called the pen-pin merger.
Yes.
You don't have it. Typically, it would result in the vowel sound and the word pen sounding like the one in the word pin.
Yes.
This one, we believe, comes from Irish settlers in the United States. So it's very common in the South, where they were most, predominant. And then during the Dust Bowl, a lot of Irish immigrants moved to Southern California. So all through this in the SoCal area, but like less widespread.
Copy.
In SoCal than it is in the South.
Because what I could tell you is every time people talk to me, they always think I'm from a different spot than I am. And then when I tell them where I'm from, they're like, what? Mm. And I think it's because I was surrounded by family that was from a different spot.
Mm.
Okay.
And I think I picked up vowels and things from them and not from like elementary school.
I see.
Like my grandma and my mom and my dad. But you don't have to guess. We could talk about it, but...
I'm thinking.
Yes, please.
This episode of Smosh Asks is sponsored by ZocDoc. So, fun story.
I may have slipped down the last step of my stairs and sprained my ankle. Or you could say I sprained it by saving someone, myself from breaking my ankle. Whatever works for you. But don't feel bad for me because guess what? I used ZocDoc and got help for my ankle immediately. ZocDoc lets you search and compare local in-network doctors, so I was able to find a doctor near my home. And I got to go home with a really cute boot. Say it's cute. Good. ZocDoc's website let me look at patient reviews so I can find a doctor that's right for me. And because ZocDoc shows appointments I could book between 24 and 72 hours, I lucked out and found a same-day appointment. But seriously, when bad things happen, there can be a sense of panic and worry. Finding an urgent care or specialist can feel daunting. But with ZocDoc, they make it easy, so all that emotional stress is not needed. Your health matters, and taking care of yourself shouldn't be complicated. Find and book the right doctor with ZocDoc. Head to ZocDoc.com/smoshask to get started and check that appointment off your to-do list. That's ZocDoc.com/smoshask. Now back to the show.
No, give him more. Go ahead.
Keep talking. The data is going into the brain.
It's actually crazy to use a map when we're talking about sounds.
I think he might be lying to you.
You think so?
I might be.
I don't know why my heart's beating. Because Gucci knows.
It feels like we're going to get caught for murder or something.
Yeah. My heart's going a million miles an hour.
So were you?
Okay, ready? Yeah, I was talking to my dad, or also known as my father. And oh, no, I don't want to be a bother. No, I don't want to be a bother.
Say it again.
His eyes are closed. I don't want to be a bother. No. Please, I don't want to bother you.
Angela, you're bothering
me. Word.
I had dinner with my my brother, and it's my father's side. So it's...
Do you know what holiday is on Saturday?
Oh, this weekend is Father's Day.
Okay.
She's such a good fucking actor.
I really am.
Honestly, you're a good fucking actor.
Stop it.
You just say that's why it was like so natural. And then you, the Saturday.
That was cool.
So what I'm looking for there is a merger called the father-bother merger. It's one of the hardest ones to spot. Like the vast majority of the United States has the merger. There's very few people that don't have the merger.
Like my grandmother's going to go, your father.
Exactly. When we're talking about the IPA, we visualize the vowels on this chart. They're supposed to represent like a cross section of the human mouth. This slanted part is the front of the mouth. This is the back of the mouth. And so when you, like, vowels are placed on that chart based on where your tongue is in the mouth.
Yes.
You're pronouncing it. Yes.
Like when British people put the O's in front.
Yes.
Versus, like, when people put them back here.
Exactly. So, like, for example, the reason why, like, British singers sometimes sound American, British English has a lot of vowels that are, like, the British equivalents of a lot of American vowel sounds are pronounced lower in the mouth mm-hmm. than the American ones. Mm-hmm. So they raise their vowel sounds that causes them to sound a bit more American.
Yes.
Okay, so in merged accents, the vowel sound in the father-bother merger is this vowel sound right here. In unmerged accents, the vowel sound of the word bother is this vowel, which is the same symbol but flipped. And that distinction is that the bother vowel is unrounded, the father vowel is rounded. The rounding refers to how your lips are pronounced when, or how your lips are like positioned.
Shaped.
Yes, like when you're saying it.
Father.
Mm-hmm.
Or father.
So like roundness is one of three or four, depending on who you ask, traits that determine like how you describe a vowel based on like its sound, right? Like you can hear a vowel sound, then you can describe it, even if you don't know the IPA symbol, you can describe the articulation of it based on how high it is in the mouth, how like forward or back it is in the mouth, and whether or not the vowel is rounded. So this vowel is a low back, either unrounded in accents with the merger or rounded in accents without the merger. Or,
fascinating. Yeah, so when you hear me say father.
It sounds rounded.
It sounds like father.
The lack of the merger is most common in New England. So I'm going to guess you're from somewhere in New England.
So I am from California,
really?
LA. Yeah, that's what everyone's, but all my family's from New York.
Okay.
But most of them all, like the people I was raised around, are Italian Americans.
Gotcha.
And they come from New York.
Okay, because the merger is most common in New York City and Boston, which were like the stereotype of New Yorkers saying like coffee instead of coffee.
Exactly.
That's the father-bother merger. It's like an over-exaggerated version of the father-bother merger.
Yeah, but I don't have I've never been told I have that dialect, but when I tell people I was born and raised in LA, people are always shocked by
that. Yeah, that shocked me too, because I thought you were definitely somewhere from the East Coast.
Yeah, and then because I've always thought, Zay, that I thought that maybe because I grew up in LA and all like my family's like cool and Italian, that I was like, I thought that maybe as a kid I wanted to sound like that. So then I tried to and it just stuck. And then we recently found a video of me as a kid and I am talking with almost a full New York accent. And I'm like a toddler and I'm going, oh my God, I can't believe it. And that's when I was like, okay, I guess.
Release the
tapes. I think I must have just like heard my grandma and just like took all vowel sounds from her.
Interesting.
But I don't know. I've always been curious about it. But
you don't sound like her from California.
Don't. Yeah, that really
shocked. But I also don't sound like I'm from New York. I think it's just, what can I say? Just like hard to figure out.
Would it be okay if I went next?
Yes!
This
okay.
is exciting.
Tricky okay. over here.
Okay.
Okay, you have my full undivided attention.
Hi.
Okay, I caught a fish and then I laid in my cot.
Such good acting.
It sounded like you were on Survivor.
Say it again.
I caught a fish and I laid in my cot.
Okay, I'm like...
caught.
I'm like low-key either really far off or really close.
Okay, throw a ball at me and I caught it. Okay. And I laid down in my cot.
Yeah. You're like merging it in a weird way, which might be a really big hint, or... Or you're just weird, I don't know.
So you're from weird.
Just fucking weird.
Yeah.
So there's no place on the map for weird.
All right, read these three words for me.
You got three?
Okay.
Three.
Yeah, okay. My friend Mary, she's going to marry and her mood will be Mary.
Oh!
Mary.
Oh.
Mary.
That's the same word three times.
Yep.
Mary.
For real.
I'm gonna get married. To my friend Mary, and I feel Mary.
Christmas, happy.
Merry Christmas to Mary.
Yeah, Jesus's mother.
Jesus's mother, Mary, married a guy. I think it's the same word all three times.
Okay, because what I was looking for was, I mean, it's the Mary distinction, not surprisingly. But in specifically New York City and Boston, they are three separate vowel sounds. So you'll hear Mary for Mary with one
Mary.
R.
Mary, she's Mary.
Mary for M-A-R-R-Y, and then Mary for M-E-R-R-Y.
Mary.
And then in the areas, like, Mary. As you get further away from those areas, the three-way distinction becomes a two-way distinction, and it becomes one word in all three parts of, the rest of the country. Like, for example, I'm from South Jersey, from the Philly area. I have a two-way distinction. So the one with an A, I say Mary, and with an E, I say Mary.
You say Mary.
Mary. Yes.
And he didn't really do that.
I said all three words the same way 40 times.
he said all three the same. At first, when I heard him say caught, he was merging in like a weird way that had me leaning New England, but I don't think it's New England anymore because he didn't have
the three.
Yeah.
This is cool.
Now read these for me.
Oh, I would love to say these words differently.
Yeah.
Pin, pen.
Okay.
And that is how I say it normally. I'm not overthinking it. My mom says pin, and I'm like, so those are two different words, right?
And you're from the same place as your mom.
my mom came to the place that I'm from.
Oh, versus you are from that
from the,
place.
That place.
Right, okay.
That's usually
so
how
I
parents
pick
work.
Up, what's interesting, and I think hopefully helpful, is there are some things that I say from like my parents, who are both not from the state that I'm from, but there's many things they do say that I do not say like them. So okay. I definitely was influenced by my school and my surroundings, more than I think my parents.
Okay, so.
He's crossing shit off.
Yeah.
Gucci.
But I don't want that to influence you. Oh, God.
Okay, I have a question from both of you now, because since I already know where you're from. Can you both read this word for me?
Yes.
Bite.
Bite.
Say it again.
Bite. I'm gonna bite that. You bit me, bite. That was a bite.
Can I have a bite of your muffin?
Can I have a bite of your muffin?
Can I have a bite of your hot dog?
Okay, you had a little bit of hot dog coming out right then.
Can I have a bite of your hot dog?
Yeah, you have a little touch
of the hot
dog.
You guys, just say it normal. Like,
hot dog.
Can I have a bite of your hot dog?
Hot dog. Bite.
Say it's like,
say it normal.
I can't come back here.
I feel like I'm losing my mind. Hold on.
I'm so sorry.
I might be onto something. No, wait, I might be onto something. Maybe.
New York metro area or Baltimore? Like, my two, like, where, like...
New York metro area or DMV?
You are looking on the right side.
One of my parents came from...
One of those places?
Oh.
Just a little bit. I can give you a broad zone that'll truly, I think, resolve everything for you.
Yeah.
I am from somewhere in the American South.
That's what they call it?
Well, like the South of America. Like the South, you know.
Yeah.
The South.
Yeah, but I don't really consider
In the South.
But it's in the South.
Yeah, but it is in the South, for sure.
Okay, we got another test here.
All right, another word.
Night.
Yeah.
It's fascinating what could be where you're from or like something you listen to too much.
It's like this would really, I think we'd be a lot better at saying things if we were two glasses in. We would not, we'd be unable to think about it.
Yeah, we're
then
just
I feel
saying.
Like I talk a little great. Like I'm like
then you're talking like this.
I'm so dialed in, maybe.
Okay. He's going state by state.
I know.
I'm going, wait.
Caught,
you're tripping
caught,
him up. You're...
bite, hot dog.
Are you attributing curry. For, are you attributing for gay as well?
Hey, so can I talk to you about this?
Wait, we need a different map. He's gay.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Let's get Zay the gay map.
It's a dick. It's an outline of a dick.
It's the Grindr logo?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Just make sure that, yeah, you put that into your calculations.
I got to take that into account. I think from, like, somewhere in this circle.
Okay. No, but my mom is. And earlier
Bring her out!
And earlier you had done something, I think, closer to like Jersey area, yeah. maybe. That's where my dad was originally
from.
Oh. So you're picking up on a combo of my mom's weird pin situation,
okay.
my dad's Jersey situation, but I am from South Florida, like proper South Florida.
I figured that's where the disconnect was, right? Okay. So one of the like main, because when you said you were from the South, I was like thinking this might have been it. One of the main sources I use is a book called 2006 Atlas of North American English by a linguist from New Jersey, actually. Something that is, like, I guess, difficult to explain is that when linguists talk about different regions, like, what linguists consider to be, like, the South or the West is different than what's colloquially considered those areas, right? And so when linguists talk about the South in reference to American accents, they're talking about areas that have what are called the Penpin merger and something called the Southern vowel shift, which is when the diphthong, which a diphthong gets a syllable that has two vowel sounds.
Yes.
When the diphthong in a word like night turns into a monophthong, so it sounds more like night. So anywhere that doesn't have both of those traits, even if it is geographically in the South, is not considered a Southern accent. Southern Florida does not have the
normal Southern.
Yeah, it doesn't have the Southern vowel shift, which is what I was asking for when I heard you say night. Right. You didn't have the Southern vowel shift.
That's fascinating. Yeah.
Exactly.
Interesting. Mm. But I know, because I know Southern Florida is the one that's like, there's no accent or something. I mean, clearly there's something.
Yeah.
But like, it's the one that's like very weird. I was interested, but what blows my mind is you got where my parents were from.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Because I was like, yeah, I mean, clearly I've picked up some of my
This is so cool. Good job.
That was like beyond, like, I preferred that information than just like, oh, you're from South Florida. It's like, I know where your parents are from. It's like, oh, Jesus Christ. That was so impressive and crazy.
Okay, do somebody else. Do somebody else.
Olivia?
Okay.
Me?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Caught.
Okay, I look—you don't know why I asked you this because it told me nothing. Because I did—I imagined this in a video about Elisa Liu's accent, but Asian American accents tend to have like a sort of, I guess, inverse caught merger, or instead of caught sound like caught, it's the other way around, and they both sound like caught instead they both sound like caught. Uh-huh. That's what I heard when you said both vowels. So I kind of learned nothing from that.
Okay.
So I asked you something else.
But you did a great delivery. You're a great actor.
Did I do a good delivery?
Did I
book it?
Actor.
Did I book it?
You did book
great
it.
Great actor.
Yes. Pen. Pin.
Good job. Good job.
Did I get it?
Literally
got
booked it.
Like
it was like Meryl Streep.
Still have the job. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't take it away.
Oh my God, he's gonna do the three words. It's the three words. I got more words.
That's when you know they like you.
Yeah.
That's when they know they like
this
you.
This is like considered a callback if you think about it.
Okay. My friend Mary. Mary. Mary.
Okay, read them in order.
Mary. Mary. Mary.
It's fascinating.
Okay, now I need all three of you to read this word.
Cantonese.
Cantonese.
Cantonese. What vowels are you looking for in Cantonese?
In like New England, the Philly area, the New York area, and like the DC, Baltimore area, they have something called A raising, where the vowel, that first vowel sound in Cantonese, before certain sounds and like before certain combination of sounds, it gets like nasalized, I guess is the best way to describe it. Yeah. So like I have that A raising because I'm from New Jersey. So it's like with A raising, it sounds like Cantonese. Without it, it sounds like Cantonese with a more like open vowel. It's difficult to describe. But that's what I'm listening for.
He's got to find the right route to take to pinpoint where you're from.
Father, bother.
Say it one more time.
Wait.
Father, bother. It's Father's Day. Don't bother me.
That was good.
Those are very,
was that good?
That was really good.
Those
yeah.
are very natural deliveries. It's great. Job.
Thank you.
What's funny is like I can hear a difference. I don't know what it means.
Yeah. yeah.
Mirror, hill, heel.
Whoa.
Say it again.
Mirror, hill, heel.
I'm between two areas, but they're like not close.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's great though.
Takes us through your thought process.
Hill and heel.
No, I don't care about those words. I'll think about mirror.
Oh, mirror.
Specifically. Because some parts, specifically like the like DMV and Appalachia area, something that we call elision happens to the R, which is kind of gets like the sound gets softened or like kind of like removed entirely from the word. That's kind of bothering with you. Mm-hmm. Like there's some other stuff that's pointing me in a different direction.
I was born in China.
For how long did you stay there?
I don't know how.
Until I was two.
So he wasn't talking it to you.
Do you natively speak English?
I speak, yeah. Okay. English and Mandarin.
Okay.
I'm 5'4".
I changed everything.
Is this a slate? Can you look to camera?
Hi, I'm Olivia Sway. I'm 5'4", and I'm willing to shave. Broadway? I got a new word. I got a new word! Broadway.
Broadway.
Broadway. You just make a left on Broadway.
Angela?
Broadway.
Make a right on Broadway, and then you'll hit hill.
You gotta save it all.
Okay.
Can't be getting anything. You guys say, yeah, yeah, Broadway.
Yeah, I'm at a complete loss.
Really? Why? Yeah.
I'm just getting like so many different like contradicting stuff.
Like what? Let's explain. This is interesting.
So like I got the cot call merger. I also got the father brother merger, or the father brother distinction, which is only in areas that don't have the cot call merger. That's like the main thing that's throwing me off. And then I asked Broadway just to get another example of the cot call merger. And you said it differently than how you said cot and caught.
No
that
way.
Was throwing me off
what do you
more.
Mean? Like you're not sticking to one yeah. version yeah. of
like,
the vowel.
Like in cot and caught, the vowel is more rounded than the way you right. say it in Broadway.
Yeah, you're like Broadway.
That's fascinating.
Wait, okay, so let me say cot and caught again. Caught. Caught.
Yeah, see, those are both rounded vowels. Now I say Broadway.
Broadway.
And that's
yes,
unrounded.
That's yeah. fascinating. Instead of Broadway.
Of the throat. Yeah.
How Broadway. Broadway. Is that not
no, there's
round?
Nothing wrong with you.
No. Because I can't hear it. How am I saying Broadway? It's not round?
Yeah, you're saying the unrounded vowel.
Yeah.
I'm saying the unrounded.
Oh, you're from the OC, babe.
Broadway.
How long have you lived in California?
My whole life. Oh.
Yeah, I would not have guessed that.
Really?
I didn't realize that was the answer.
You would not have like guessed California?
No.
Not at all?
You sound like you're from...
You no, explaining OC. It, I hear it. It's like, it's interesting.
It is contradictory, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. The way that you're saying things are contradictory.
But maybe because of where I grew up, we were all mostly first generation here. So I don't know. This is like the English that first gen people, I don't know, in Arcadia specifically.
Okay.
But I do think maybe because we were like first generation immigrants, we sort of... adapted, learned through each other, and maybe that is why our...
It's weird because, like, linguists have tried to pinpoint what the Asian American accent is, and, like, they've been generally pretty, like, unsuccessful. Like, if you ask, like, 100 linguists, you'll get 100 different answers. But there have been studies that there's one from one of the State University of New York's, I forget what the study is called. It's called, like, Cot in the Act, I think is what it's called. And it's about, like, vowel differences in... Asian American, Latino American, and white American New Yorkers. What they found is that even though we can't pinpoint exactly what the distinction is between the Asian American accent and like other American accents, if you test a bunch of Americans, like just like send them someone's voice and ask them to guess whether they're Asian or not Asian, they'll guess correctly more often than chance. Like there is something different and people can pick up on it, but we just don't know what it is.
That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can hear it. And I feel like maybe my accent has evolved a little bit because acting and I don't know. Like, but my friends home have that accent and I can hear it.
I see.
Maybe we're all victim to the Californication of our accents.
This is fascinating.
Yes, there's a couple of those that give it away.
Here we go.
Gucci's turn.
I'm so excited for this one.
I love it.
All right. let's get started. Okay. Cot, caught.
Okay. So there you go.
Wild guess that you're from New York.
I got caught.
This has been the hardest.
Gucci got caught.
Gucci got caught.
The way you want. I was gonna tell you to
caught.
I want to do the same. Give me the words. Okay, give me the same words you gave
Mary,
these.
Mary.
Yeah. I'll just,
she goes. So there's a reason
Mary,
why.
Mary coffee. Yeah.
They're the reason why I have you to laugh.
Yeah, caught. Oh my God.
Mary, I'm walking over here.
I was holding everything in while you guys are reading because there's no, I was like, there's no way.
It was so obvious. I couldn't tell if you were trolling. I thought you were trolling for a second.
No. Oh, we should have trolled.
Okay, so y'all were pissing me off because y'all were saying three of the same words. That's Mary, that's Mary, and that's Mary.
Right, I remember when
Mary.
Mary.
You're getting married.
I remember when he was saying them, you mentioned that they all sound like the same word, but you said it as though like you weren't expecting that. So I figured you were from an area that
those are three different words.
Right.
Can you give us the three words again?
That's Mary.
The woman is?
That's Mary.
Yeah.
Mary.
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 Yeah.
And she's getting?
Married.
Married.
Wow.
Yes. And Merry Christmas.
Mary.
Yay.
Mary, Mary.
I love that.
That was awesome.
Caught. Father, bother. Father, bother.
So there's no distinction in that one.
There was.
There was.
The bother was rounded.
Yeah. Bother, bother. Father, bother.
Yeah.
Happy Father's Day. Don't bother me.
God, this is fascinating.
I've got a question here. Because I'm from the South, the not South, South of the South. I was raised with y'all as an option, but I got it bullied out of me, so I don't say it anymore. So the question, why do some people say you guys versus y'all versus you all?
So again, it tied back to like historical immigration patterns. Y'all was a very, it might still be a very common trait, but it was a very common trait in Ibero English, which is the like academic term for Irish English.
My dad's Irish.
Right, and the Irish, like historically Irish immigration was most common in the American South. And so it eventually got adopted into American English in those parts of the country.
Mm. Got it, that's so cool. All right, hell yeah.
You all versus you guys. All. Yeah, I got bullied for
saying y'all.
Yeah, we both got y'all.
I still say y'all.
Well, good.
Right, and you're from SoCal. Because remember earlier I said the Penn merger moved from Irish American in the South to Irish American in the SoCal.
Yes.
So they moved during the Dust Bowl.
I say y'all all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like this, if I can pop up a random question. The Toronto accent. I feel like this one's recent. Somebody...
This is all over the internet.
Yeah, yeah. Tutu's my word, Sharti. I love it. I love it.
It's really cool. Whenever I talk about it, I get a lot of angry comments from British people, of all things.
Why?
Because they get mad people for calling the Toronto accent the Toronto accent, because they, like, there's a lot of overlap in Toronto and, like, specifically London slang. Mm. And so I think that that people from Toronto are just, like, co-opting their slang. And people from Toronto think the opposite. They think from London are co-opting their slang.
Let them, Canada, have it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, let them have a little flavor.
Give them something.
Yeah, they need a little something.
The reason why there's so much confusion on where the accent comes from is because it was influenced by a lot of the same migrant communities in Toronto and London. So like specifically Nigerian immigrants, Middle Eastern immigrants, Jamaican, Irish.
A lot of Caribbean.
A lot of Caribbean English. Somali immigrants. Yeah. A lot of the slang they use is directly borrowed from either Jamaican patois or Arabic or Somali. So it's just the same influence in both these places that makes it seem like they're descended from each other when that's not necessarily the case.
I was in Toronto for a month earlier this year and I didn't notice any accent, but I did notice anyone who wasn't from there was saying Toronto. And everyone who was from there was like, how long have you been in Toronto?
Toronto.
Yeah.
Toronto.
And that was what I noticed the most. Toronto. But I didn't notice like a big
Toronto?
Accent. And it was always like, I've lived in Toronto all my life.
Toronto.
Rather, Toronto.
How do cuss words originate?
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
So
I feel like that's interesting.
There's a really great like linguistics book. It's really care to beginner, so I highly recommend it. It's called The Stuff of Thought by Steven Pinker. He's a linguist at Harvard. And one of the chapters is it's called The Seven Words You Can't Say on TV. And it's about the origin of cuss words. And they basically all come from either religion, sex, or excrement.
What was the last one?
Excrement.
Shit.
Yeah.
Oh, got it. Oh, duh.
So the idea, the case he makes, and I think the case that most people agree with, is that these are all taboo topics. And so they, over time, the taboo extends to just like any words even like remotely related to these things. And so they become vulgar. But something interesting is that in America, the ones related to like to religion are like not super vulgar. Like you can say like damn and it's like whatever, right? But in Quebec, so like in French speaking parts of Canada, they have what are called sacrements. And these are swear words that are just like, it's all the religious swear words. And they're considered the most vulgar words in Canadian French. So like if you're, let's say you're watching like a Canadian French, I forget what the specific example is, but there's an example he gives in the book of a Canadian French TV show that's in both French and English. Whenever someone says a religious swear word in French, it's always censored. But then if you're watching the English dub, it's uncensored. Because there's just a massive disparity between how these words are perceived. So it's generally, it arises as a result of like social stigma surrounding those topics.
Totally.
But in societies that are more religious, you'll see the religious swear words are valued a lot more highly than the non-religious
ones. It makes sense.
Sacrement.
Sacrement. Yeah, my French teacher used to scream that at us if he didn't like something we were doing. Sacrement. Like, gang, what are you talking about?
Wait, this is a good one for Gucci, too. The New York boroughs and accent.
Oh, yes. This is interesting.
Okay, so
Brooklyn.
I was binging Zay's content.
Same.
And how badly New Yorkers are coming at you.
Yeah.
For,
yes.
They're like, no, there is a distinction. And I'm not going to lie, my ego started to flare up and I was like, I can tell. So he's got a quiz in his bio for everybody who thinks that they know different. So I went and I took the quiz. I was like, watch, I ate this up. I got 2 out of 10.
Whoa!
Yeah. I think the average score on that's like a 1.5 or something.
No way!
New Yorkers swear up and down that there's a difference between the accents of the different boroughs. If you ask 100 New Yorkers what the differences are, you'll get 100 different answers. Because there is no difference. They're making it up.
a lot of it, I feel like, has to do with their own, like ethnic background, immigration background. Yeah, because like I grew up in Valley Stream, New York, which is like Caribbean and Italian, right? So like you have two completely different accents. Like one is like people straight up speaking patois and then like, you know, Italian house moms and they're like talking like this. Like I'm like sure it sounds more like what your family sounded like, right? Like, but that's not reflective of the entirety of
that borough.
I'm right outside of the boroughs, right?
Yeah.
So the suburbs sound different than what
it makes sense,
the five boroughs would sound like. But even that, I was like, I don't think there is a singular accent. I was humbled.
What people don't realize, or like specifically New Yorkers don't realize, is that the boroughs of New York are not separate enough from each other for them to have different accents, right?
That makes sense.
So like you can live in one borough and work in another and go to school in a third borough. Right. Like New York and Chicago have different accents because people in New York don't live with people in Chicago. Mm-hmm. They don't live their lives next to people in Chicago. People from all different types of boroughs will interact with each other on a daily basis. And so the accents will blend together to the point where there is no meaningful distinction. There is a linguist named, I believe her name is like Kara Becker or Kara Decker. She's from, I think NYU or Columbia. But she specializes in studying New York English. And she did a study back in like the early 2010s where she tested a bunch of native New Yorkers on their ability to guess someone's borough of origin based on just their accent and nothing else. They did like remarkably bad. They were really, really bad at it. But what she did find was that there was an alignment between like what guess someone had or like what borough someone was perceived as being from and their ethnic identity.
Is Missouri more Midwestern or Southern in terms of accents?
So this is what I'm getting into with the whole, like, what linguists consider the South is not, like, what colloquially referred to as the South. Missouri, the Southern vowel shift is, like, kind of variable. It's, like, because, like, St. Louis is, like, the center of Missouri. South of St. Louis tends to have the Southern vowel shift. St. Louis and North tends not to have it. And so low-key, like, the bottom half of Missouri is Southern. The top half is Midwestern.
Whoa!
Wow.
Right.
Because of where they are.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's true. The Southern half is more Southern.
Look at that. I'm a linguist.
Kind of in the same boat. In Florida, so freeways have like a bunch of different names all over the place. Why is that? Why are freeways called different things? Sorry, freeways is what I call them.
Highways.
I call them
freeways.
Oh, yeah, because I also have a question that's about that, which is why do people say the when saying freeways in California?
So the answer to both is that the federal numbering system for highways didn't exist until, like, if I'm not mistaken, like the 60s, I think, like the 50s or 60s. And so different states called them different things before this. And then when the like federal numbering system got adopted, people kind of like merged it with what they already called the highways. So like in California, for example, the highways just had like actual names, but they all had names that began with the. And so when they got numbers, they just tacked the onto whatever number it was.
Versus like in Florida, like my cousins that live in Florida, it's US 1.
It's US 1 or 95.
That's mm-hmm. it.
I'm taking 95 up.
Versus yeah. 134, 405.
Like the East Coast had the numbering system before the rest of the country, before like got expanded federally.
Got it.
Like the East Coast tends to call, like I grew up in like the New Jersey, like Philly area. So I still call it I-95, I-295, stuff like that.
Nice. Because
mm-hmm. we've always had the numbering system.
But the is because there was like
yes,
there were, Pacific Coast Highway.
Exactly. That's what it's called.
And now yes. it's and now it's like
the 5, I think, right?
Yeah. I don't know which I think it is the 5.
Yeah.
The one?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know.
For us to
I don't take enough vacations.
Van Wyck to the BQE to the LIE, then you're
the 2.
Then you
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
What else we got in here?
Yeah, the way that Olivia was saying Broadway, I was like, yeah, it was giving so West Coast.
Broadway.
Yeah.
Broadway.
The New Orleans Broadway. Broadway. Accent. The New Broadway. Orleans accent.
So New Orleans is really interesting because the specific accent of New Orleans is called the Yat accent.
Yeah.
And it sounds very oddly similar to the New York accent, even though they're like obviously very, very far. And the reason is because, again, it all goes back to like historical migration patterns where during the colonial era, New Orleans, Boston, and New York, like those three, were three of the most important port cities in North America. And so they were influenced by a lot of the same, not necessarily immigrant populations, but like foreign traders that would come to their ports. Like they would stay and like do work here for like a couple months and then they'd go back. Like, for example, all three of those accents are what traditionally, they used to be what's called non-rhotic. So they would drop the R sound at the end of syllables. It's not as common now. Like, non-rhoticity sort of started to die out after the Civil War because non-rhoticity was very heavily associated with the South. And after the South lost the Civil War, it became like less prestigious to sound like a Southerner. So people started like deliberately like sounding more Northern in their speech. And so non-rhoticity got like kind of replaced in the South. Like some of the most non-rhotic places in the U.S. today are still Boston, New York, and New Orleans because of that lasting influence of British traders at their ports. Because British English had been non-rhotic long before American English. They would come to those ports, they spread non-rhoticity in those areas.
And so that's like ka instead of car, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Get in the car.
Get in the car.
Get in the car. Come on. Car.
Do you feel like, as like a young linguist, do you feel like tech and like being online is going to start affecting the way we speak and like blending it all? Because like I think about, like when I was a kid, I wasn't listening to podcasts. Yeah. And like I'm listening to some of my podcasts that I'm listening to are from creators that are not around me, right? That live like that are like from New York or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about kids and like Gen Z, just being able to be connected to people that don't live close to us. Like, is that just gonna blow it all open?
Yes, but like not in the way that people think. So there's a great book by Adam Alexic called Algo Speak. And in it, he makes the case, traditionally, accents used to be like divided geographically. In the present and like going into the future, they will be divided by like online communities, basically the point he makes. He says like we don't shape the algorithm shapes us. We're like, because we now identify less with geographical regions and more like different online sub-communities.
Yes.
We modify our speech to sound like this image of what we think our identity become when it got shaped by the internet, if that makes sense.
Yes, no, it does. Yeah. Like thinking about like how kids are gonna watch more content and see more content. Mm-hmm. So what they're watching shapes their vowels rather than the people
we just
at
had
their school.
Our TV and our school and our parents.
Yeah, you just had your cousins.
Right.
And now it's like you can be connected to so many other parts of the world.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we're gonna be connected by like our algorithms.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. I have a question. Mm-hmm. Do you think there will be a new language that's formed?
There's always been like constructed languages, which are like languages that people invent like for a purpose. But as far as like naturally developing languages, the issue is that like no one can really agree on what a language is. Like, there's a common quote in linguistics that a language is a dialect with an army and navy. So like the distinction between a language and a dialect is like almost entirely a political one and not necessarily a linguistic one.
Mm.
For example, within China's borders, Mandarin and Cantonese are considered two dialects of the single Chinese language. Whereas outside of China, generally they're considered to be two separate languages. The reason being it's beneficial within China to promote like a sort of like image of national unity, whereas outside of China, it's not really the case. The distinction between the languages or lack thereof seems like a distinction or lack thereof of the people groups. Or like in the former country of Yugoslavia, when they were all united as like Yugoslavia, the language was called Serbo-Croatian. It was one language. Now it's four separate countries, and so it's four separate languages. Even though the languages didn't change, it's just the names of the countries that speak them. So it really, really depends on like what you mean by like a new language. Like language is always going to continue to change, but whether or not especially with the advent of the internet and the fact that like less history is getting lost to time, it's mm-hmm. kind of hard to say whether or not the ways in which we perceive the languages being like in relation to each other will change.
Because wow. like the English we're speaking right now has just been developed slowly mm-hmm. over and over and over.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm.
Like all of language just fully develops. Like the way they spoke in like Shakespearean times was different mm-hmm. than, you right. know, right? Mm-hmm.
Right, like functionally, like the English we're speaking now and like the English of like the 1100s, they sound like different, like we wouldn't be able to understand it. They sound like different languages. Mm-hmm. But for like political and social reasons, they're considered to be the same mm. language.
Got it.
Or like when you watch old movies, like the transatlantic accent.
Right. Yeah. That's like gone at this point.
We don't talk like that anymore.
Right.
More about the algo speak situation. Mm-hmm. How do slang words circulate online? Because like I'm hearing a new thing every day.
What's the newest word right now?
I couldn't tell you. I'm old.
What about mogged? Is that a new word?
Well, it's not that new.
Mogged
but,
is kind of, yeah. yeah.
Well.
Might
okay.
Be
or like, I don't know, but that's a great question.
Yeah.
So common like rule of thumb that any word that you don't know the origin of on the internet either came from black people or from 4chan incels.
It's true.
Because they're like on the outskirts of society. They have like these, like, I don't want to say like black people have weird niche beliefs, but like 4chan incels definitely, like black people have like how do I word this? I'm black, it's not going to sound racist. Say
yeah, you're actually hey. Good.
You say it exactly the way.
Yeah, like
they like, want to say it.
It's like a different like you know the two Americas, all that. So it like different language emerges from these communities, and then they get picked up by people outside those communities, and they get repurposed.
Yeah.
And generally, the meaning gets broadened. Very 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 rarely does the meaning get like more and more narrow. Mm. Like it'll get broadened to fit a wider social context. Like the word mog, for example, that originated in, if I'm not mistaken, originated in like bodybuilding forums in the early 2010s, where it was an acronym for something. It was the acronym for alpha male group. That's what it was. They referred to someone who was the most perceived to be the most masculine person in a group. And then it got widened to be like a verb to describe someone who just looks better than someone else in any other capacity.
Oh. Wait, mog like man of group or masculine?
Alpha male of group.
Alpha a mog.
Log. Okay, I have a question. Mm-hmm. How far back can the English language go before you could not understand it?
So in the, I want to say 13th century? Yeah, like between the like 11 and 1200s, there was something called the Great Vowel Shift in English that changed basically every vowel sound that exists in English. And then before that with the Norman Conquest, that added a lot of French influence to English. I feel like that 300-year period would like maybe the most influential period in the development of the English language. So if I had to guess, probably like before the 11th century, English would become pretty unintelligible.
How does that vowel, that great vowel shift that you talk about, how does that happen? Are people going, hey, you said it wrong, say it right now. Mm-hmm. There's like a collective yeah. agreement to
the
like
the town
change.
Came together.
Yeah, did everybody
like,
get really
saying
sick?
It like this?
Or did their mouth change?
The main thing with influence from the French, because like language, a main way language evolves is people trying to imitate like prestige dialects. People living in the British Isles trying to imitate the English spoken by the French who had come to England during the Norman Conquest. And so that was a major like driver of change. Like how I said earlier, that a lot of traits of Southern American English were lost after the Civil War because the South became like less prestigious because the North was like industrializing quicker and they just won the Civil War. And so Southerners tried to imitate sounding like Northerners, right? Mm. So that's like, I'd say the number one driver is people trying to sound more classy.
Mm. Wow.
So whoever is the elite class of that era.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Is what people, yeah, I mean, that makes sense, yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay,
and so as that changes over time.
What do you think is the biggest misconception people have about language? Or what is, like, your biggest, like, if I got to say one thing that I want people to know?
Low-key, grammar, like, isn't real.
Shut up!
Love it.
Like, can we make sure we got that?
Yeah.
Grammar isn't real, guys.
Yeah, grammar isn't
grammar
real?
Grammar is, like, not real.
Low-key, grammar isn't real.
I sit on couch.
Word of my dud.
Exactly. Because, like, okay.
Grammar's not real.
The thing people, like, people love to pretend, like, that grammar is real. Like, what you have to understand is that, like, language is an entirely social behavior. Language does not exist if there's not people using it. For grammar to be meaningful, it just has to inform the way that people use language as a social behavior. Let's say we decide arbitrarily that the word like ain't is incorrect grammar. but people use it as though it's correct, and people understand it as though it's correct,
then it's language.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly.
Then you get it.
Yeah. It makes sense. It's
exactly.
like
language is a very self-regulating thing. If people use and understand something to be correct, then it is correct.
And to make something not proper versus proper, like right. the wrong usage of your.
It's just like societal nonsense.
Mm. Yeah. Yes.
Versus like you're using it and we connected and you know what I mean.
Right. Exactly. So if I say to you like, oh, like Shorty was mad, you would know what I'm talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
She was fucking bitch.
And that doesn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't need to be correct grammar for me correct. To understand.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sit couch. You know what yeah. I'm talking about.
I sit couch.
Right here.
Yeah. That's fascinating. Zay, you are like, yeah, I could do this for hours.
I have so many questions.
I'm curious. I've just been noticing like what you have to say about how some words that are used against people mm-hmm. that now like in our like millennials and Gen Zs can now take it back. Mm-hmm. Like bitch being like a thing that in like queer cultures and feminine, like we use that word mm-hmm. or like cunt.
Mm-hmm.
And being like, it's cunty. And we mm-hmm. took it, what was like so offensive before is now like you're serving cunt.
Yeah, my parents mm-hmm. hate the name of my YouTube show. Hardcore.
But you mean it in like a you're serving
like,
cunt.
I'm like, bitch, you're serving cunt. Mm.
And like what, if you have anything to say about like the way words can just mean something horrible and then a group takes it and then says, we actually own it.
Yeah.
On that note, I do say, I hate the way that slay has been snatched because now I hear like, oh, that's so slay. Mm. Like, I don't like that.
It's just fascinating.
That's slay.
That's slay. Yeah. Okay, but hey, but grammar's not real.
It's not
that's what I was
real.
Saying. Yeah, that's yeah, that I also to grammar.
Grammar's not real.
It's not real. But if you get it, you get it.
It kind of circles back around to like grammar not being real, or like language as a whole just kind of not being real. Like if we assign like an arbitrary like offensive mean to a word, but no one uses or understands it that way. I don't want it to sound like I'm justifying saying slurs, but like our understanding of the usage of the word generally impacts the way it's used more than the history of the word.
Yeah. Mm.
So like the word moron, for example, used to be like a pretty offensive like medical classification for people who were like developmentally disabled. It's no longer used that way. Generally speaking, people don't understand it's used to be
that way.
Yeah, exactly.
So there probably was then a time, like right now for the word where it's like there was a time where that slowly got used differently and people forgot about how it was used before and now you can just be like, oh, you moron or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about understanding like 6'7"? Is that language? So, I truly don't understand this language.
So 6'7" is what, there's a sociologist named Jean Baudrillard, and he wrote an essay called Simulation and Simulacrum, I believe that's what it's called. 6'7" is something that he would call a simulacrum, which is a copy without an original. It's a symbol that represents something, but that symbol had become so far removed from what it originally represents.
That it's different.
That it's like a complete, it's taken on a life of its own. Okay. So like 6'7" originates from a song by the Philadelphia rapper Skrilla, right?
Skrilla.
It says like, I forget what the exact lyric is, but it's either a reference to 67th Street in Philadelphia or the police code 1067, which is the Philly police code for murder. But no one knows that, and no one uses it in that context. It's taken on a completely, different life of its own. It's taken on a completely new meaning.
And like these kids that are doing it also don't know what it is. They're just doing it to do it, right? It's just like an echo.
Exactly. It's a copy without an original. It's an imitation of an imitation of an imitation. Go on.
So can that be like a new form of language in a way where it's like people don't, it's not like grammatically understood or relevant anyway, but it's like that unspoken understanding of what it means and what it represents.
I feel like that's algo speak essentially, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned because I from my understanding of 6'7" is that the song was overlaid on a basketball player whose jersey's number was 6'7",
It was over an edit of LaMelo Ball, I think LaMelo Ball.
Yeah.
Who is 6'7".
So who is 6'7".
It cut from someone talking about him.
Yeah.
And like right when they named his height, it cut to the clip of the song where he says 6'7".
Right.
Gosh.
And that's how it like blew up.
Right. But now it has no meaning, right?
Yeah, now it has no meaning.
It means no meaning.
Nothing.
It means nothing.
It means nothing. After, just doing this and saying
exactly. Like, at first with the Philly murder code, and then with LaMelo Ball's height, and now it's just kind of nothing. 6'7" just kind of means 6'7".
Zay, thank you so much for coming.
Wow.
Yeah,
you
are truly.
A young doctor in the making.
Yeah. Thank you, Zay, for coming.
Honor.
This is awesome.
Thank you for having me.
This is really awesome.
This is so cool.
Thank you for answering all our questions and basically figuring out where all of us are from. Yeah.
Yeah.
Quat.
Quat.
I got quat.
She got quat. Well, that's been another Smosh Asks, where there's no stupid questions, so we ask a lot of them. Thanks for watching. And if you want to see us interview other types of people, let us know. And once again, Zay, you're probably the smartest person that's been in the building.
Yep.
Thank you for being here.
The smartest person, and your outfit's killer.
So. Thank you.
And the rings are awesome. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Zay, where can we find you?
At Zay Dupree on TikTok and Instagram, and Zay_Dupree on YouTube.
You're gonna spend 5 hours watching the videos because they're so f***ing interesting.
We'll put them in the description, so go.
Go.
Go now.
Go now. All right.
Bye.
Bye.